Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
When Mike asked me to preach, I always ask Mike, well, is there something that you want me to preach on? And he goes, well, you know, whatever God's been teaching you. All right, well, we got the whole Bible to pick from there, Mike. Thank you. I didn't necessarily have something real strong that I was, like, burdened to preach with. Like, when he first talked to me, it was only, by the way, it was only, like, 3 weeks ago. So it's not something that, like, I'd just, like, been urgently, like, needing to share or anything like that. And so I took Mike's advice, and I'm trying to preach on something that God's been teaching me, okay? So as I do this, just a couple things. This, I want you to know why I chose it, why this is important, why God is teaching me this, and I do not want to come across as somebody that is an expert, okay? This is me still being formed constantly by what God is doing, and using the preaching of our elders here. I'm going to be borrowing a lot from what Jeff and Alan and Mike have been preaching on, because that's what I've been learning from. So hopefully you will hear that as well. So what have I been learning? Well, last week they installed me as a deacon, okay? And I just wanted to share with you kind of how that came about from my perspective. Last year at our annual meeting, which happens in what, January or February, I went downstairs and I saw a whole bunch of vinyl flooring. And I said, hey, Mike, I see that you have a whole bunch of vinyl flooring. What's the plan for that? Well, I'd like to redo the hallways and bathrooms. I said, well, hey, I'd love to help you out. Let's wait until after basketball season, and then I can do that with you. All right, good deal. May rolls around, school's out, and it goes like this, or at least this is how it feels like from my perspective. We're going to be doing a flooring project, and John Sparks is going to be leading it. Oh, and also we're looking for a deacon. I was in no way campaigning to be a deacon. It really wasn't what I thought. And people would come up to me and said, what about you, deacon? Deacon John? And I would be like, it's an honor I dream not of. Thank you very much. And even after I have been made a deacon, I've had so many of you very nicely come up to me and say, oh, congrats. You're going to be great at this. I knew it was going to be you. And I'd be like, oh, okay. I don't mean to not be thankful for your very nice words. But in all honesty, it's not something that I always feel very confident about. Sarah and I talked about it at home. I go, do you think that this is something that I should do? I mean, is this, she goes, well, I don't know. I see you as a deacon. It really is. And I want to tell you just a little bit more why. I am my dad's son, okay? And my dad is very wise. He's a very, very good man. And my dad has no skills with any sort of tools if they're not in the garden, okay? I grew up with somebody that didn't do a whole lot of projects. And if they did, they were done with duct tape and long hours, you know? I didn't grow up handy, okay? And it wasn't until like the last 15 years when I got my old broken down home that I felt free that, hey, I can try this project, it can't get any worse, that I felt like I've had any ability with tools or to manage buildings or anything like that. So I don't feel like I was exceptionally prepared, but I also am my dad's son, and this is why I accepted. My dad is a pastor, and I've spent almost my entire life in small churches just like this one. And I have been blessed and seen many blessings from the people that are willing to do what they have. And again, I don't necessarily feel like I am the most qualified person to be a deacon. This is not, I mean, there's loads of stuff about this church building that I am constantly learning, and yet I feel like this is what I was called to do. And I feel like all of us are uniquely called to serve, okay? And so today, I really hope that you feel two things. One, thanked for all that you guys do. And two, then also pushed, the biblical term would be exhorted to do something else that God feels, that God is laying on your heart to serve in this church body. So that is where we're going with this. This is not a sermon on end times, although we're going to brush on that just a little bit. Mike's already done a series on that. This is not a sermon on spiritual gifts. Mike's already done a series on that. We're not really going to be focusing on this, but it is a continuation of what the elders have been preaching on. Even last week's Galatians 6, there's going to be a reference to that. So hopefully you see this. Also, all the pictures in this slideshow are from our church building, okay? Why? Well, it's not because the church building is the most important thing, okay? But this is often where we think about where we serve, okay? So don't mistake me as saying the church building as being more important than us, the church, we, the people of the church, okay? But it is just a reminder of where God has us right now. So that is the plan. So if you would turn with me, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's get to the text. We're going to look primarily at verse 10 and 11, but we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11. The reading of God's word. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Use me. May your words come forth here. May I not diminish them by misspeaking or by my life being a distraction. May this church be honored. May they be open to hearing how you would have them continue to serve you and serve one another. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I love 1 Peter. I really do. But here it is. When you're not preaching a sermon and you're taking one passage, you feel all of this pressure to make sure that you don't take the passage out of context. There's a reason that Mike does a great job and the elders are doing a great job of preaching through books of the Bible. It's a whole lot easier to get context. But real quickly, background to 1 Peter. 1 Peter is writing to the church that's outside of Jerusalem. These are Gentile Christians, and they are experiencing extreme persecution at the hands of the Roman Emperor Nero. Nero, Rome burns in AD 64, and Nero finds somebody to blame. And Christians are this relatively new group of people, a small group, and he blames Christians, and so therefore they are being persecuted. In fact, Nero is who ends up ending Peter's life and crucifixion. So all this is going on, and there, the whole book is just like, how do we survive as Christians? Why is this happening to us? How do we handle this suffering? And 1 Peter chapter 4 is slightly different. It's a small reprieve from this, because in chapter 4, Peter's talking about how Christians are different as they relate to each other, that they are suffering, but they're suffering for the right reasons, and they are no longer beholden to sin. In fact, if you look in the beginning of chapter 4, you almost have another list of the acts of the sinful nature, like Mike just preached upon in Galatians 5, okay? It's very similar to that. It lists all those things. It says, this is what you were like. You're no longer like that. This is what the people that are persecuting are like. They don't understand you. You are different from them. And so you're going to act differently from them. The people that persecute them don't understand Christians and why Christians have given up the acts of the flesh. This is more separation. But because all of us will experience judgment, that's how he gets to at the end of chapter, at the end of 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6. All of these people that are still doing this, they're going to experience judgment. We as Christians are also going to experience judgment, but we're going to have that as a welcome reward for us. It's going to be a positive thing, okay? Those who aren't in heaven will have already received their reward here on earth. And those of us that were loyal to Christ, we will have the reward in heaven. And so when he opens in verse 7, it says that the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Well, again, Mike has already talked about this. The end of all things is at hand. This was almost 2,000 years ago that Peter is writing this. We know that the end has not happened. But Peter is saying, look, all of the things that have to happen before Christ returns have already happened. Christ has come. Christ has died after living a perfect life, been risen to life, and has ascended. It could happen at any time. When Mike did his excellent End Times series, we don't know when that's happening. Okay, it could happen at any time. It could have happened in Peter's time, is what he's saying. Everything is ready to go. All the boxes are checked. We are waiting. We don't know when that is. So be self-controlled. Be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. The idea here is be wise. Okay, judgment is coming. Be controlled and sensible that we may pray wisely. All right, that we may know what it is that we really need to pray for. Have you ever been opening a prayer and been like, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what the right thing is to pray for. We're very grateful that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words that groanings can't express. But, I mean, we want to be wise. And so Peter says, be sober-minded. This is coming. It also says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We are different from non-believers, and one of the principal differences is that of unconditional love for each other. It is amazing when you love somebody, the things that you graciously accept as just being a part of their lives. Some of you are thinking about your wives or husbands, your children, your best friends, the things that you look over that you know other people can't. But because you love them, you do. You should also be thinking about the things that other people look over in your life, where you are a mess. And we as Christians, It's amazing. If you aren't coming with hatred, with suspicion, and instead with love, that when people offer up their gifts, you are much more willing to accept whatever that they have. When love covers up a multitude of sins, I am hopeful that you guys will love me, and that when I fail you as a deacon, which will inevitably happen, that that will be looked over because you love me and you care for me. That is sort of the vein that this whole thing, the perspective, the lens that this whole passage is talking about. Love one another. We are different because we love one another. So, how do we show this love? We show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, in the time that Peter was writing this, this meant specifically showing hospitality to travelers. The kind of hospitality that Joseph and Mary didn't get, you know, instead they're given a barn to stay in. It's accepting travelers in, sharing meals, doing it without grumbling, without expecting payment. The church is different from the world, and it's a safe haven. That's what this whole thing is about. Remember, all this persecution is happening in 1 Peter, but the church is a safe haven. It's a place that we should feel relief and love amongst all of the stuff that's going on around us. And to create that, we're going to use our gifts to do that, whatever they are. So we're going to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I feel like this is an area that our church has consistently improved on. And when I say improved on, that sounds like I was knocking what it was in the past. I feel like this is really an area where we continue to show love and grow. And I love the things that the elders have done to help us do this. Verse 10 is where we're going to park it a little bit and where we get to some of your actual notes. As each of you has received a grace, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So my first point is this. It is not your gift. It was given to you. All right? When you get a gift, you have no control over it. You get whatever you're given, right? You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. That's what you've got. That's what you've got. So you can't say, well, this isn't the gift I wanted. Too bad. It's your gift. Or this isn't as good as I would have wanted it. It doesn't matter. It is your gift. It was given to you. This is from God Himself. And whatever it is, you have been given it. But you do get a gift. All of you get a gift. Look at what it says. As each has received a gift. And if you're wondering, hey, this is just talking about the elders. No, in chapter 5, he specifically mentions elders. This is all of us, okay? We all get a gift. And oftentimes, more than one gift. But I am a firm believer that everyone has a spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift may be just giving somebody the opportunity to serve. Just because you are too young or too old or physically unable does not mean that you get an exception clause in this verse. As each of you have received a gift, use it to serve one another. I am grateful for the opportunity to serve some people that otherwise would miss out on some things. And that is a gift to us. It really is. I got to see Tom and Etta last week at Farrell's birthday party, the open house that they had here, which was a fun time. The pie was great. The pie was great. Farrell was in his overalls. It was classic. It was great. Good time. Seeing Tom and Etta is always encouraging to my soul. And the small things, I should put small in quotes, that they would do for my family and others, really cool, really uplifting, encouraging. And the fact that I know that they're still praying and still involved, Tom said, I'm sorry we couldn't be here for your installation as a deacon. Like, wasn't even thinking about that, but thank you, you know. He cares. He loves being with us. An opportunity to serve them now seems pretty fair. And I do want to say that I think Mike did a good job of talking about this, but spiritual gifts that are listed in the New Testament, I do not believe being exhaustive. All of you have different skills, and we can use those skills to benefit each other and this church. So it's not your gift, but you do get one. And you are expected to use it, right? But it's not a competition, okay? There are no losers or stars. God is not comparing it to others. It says here, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That took me a while. I didn't understand what God's varied grace meant. And I had to dig a little bit, look through it. One of the things that I like to do when I'm preaching is to look at different versions of the Bible. My Greek is out of practice, to say the least. And so I went to other versions. I saw various gifts. I saw multitude of gifts. And this one for Alan is from the NASB, is multifaceted gifts. Okay? The idea here is that these gifts are different. They're many-sided. And they're all not the same level. Some of us sing better than others. Some of us speak better than others. Some of us are much more aware of what's going on in our surroundings and can see those things and reach people to know when people are hurting. Are they much more aware? We have varied skills. We have varied gifts. It's part of God's grace to us. God is not comparing you to others. If your threshold for service is, well, I've got to be the best at that, you are at the wrong place. Because that's not God's qualification. We already have one best, and that's Jesus. We are all short of that. So we do what we can. We do what we can and see where we can go from there. Again, I've grown up in many, many small churches, or maybe I should say mostly one or two small churches, but then I've had the blessing of being in others. And it's for a reason. I like being in a small church. I really do. I also like traveling and being in other churches. When we are gone, like we were for Labor Day, I got to be at my brother-in-law's church. And to see a small church, much like this one, pour themselves out as a drink offering with the best that they have. Is their music good? No, it is not. It is truthfully not. But they're pouring their hearts out. My nephew, Elijah, is a loud 11-year-old. And as he is singing in this worship time, he is belting it out and dreadfully off key. cry every time. He's offering his best. No holds barred. And if you ever get to do that, where you are at another church, you are participating in that same offering across the world. Whether you go to Haiti or New Mexico or Ohio or anywhere else, we are offering the best of what we have to God. And singing is a great example of that. It really is. It is not a competition, but you're on the team. You're expected to do this. It says, use it to serve one another. Use it. I really hope that you guys don't feel, as I talk about this, that I am pointing fingers and saying, well, this person's not doing this, this person, that's not it. We have a bunch of people that are offering themselves up. Okay? I do want to say that this is something that, again, I was feeling like I don't really want to be a deacon. It's not really what I feel qualified for, but I felt like this is what God was having me do. And hopefully I wasn't doing nothing before, but I just want to encourage you, as you see, as you are led, to not worry about what skills you have. You have a gift, and whatever you have is an offering to God. So you're a part of us. We are a part of each other. We're a part of this church. We're on the same team. It is not a competition. Verse 11 says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So it is not for our glory. We don't use our gifts for our glory. It's not about us, okay? It is very easy when you are in the rest of the world to think, well, I'll sing the national anthem at the ball game because I'm good at it, okay? And you get glory for that, right? Or, you know, hey, I can put my talents on display like this. Okay, I'm good at this. And I do not want to take any of those things away. I'm glad that people are good and that can share their gifts with us. But at the church, it's different. It's not just because you are good at something, okay? It is because we are worshiping with it. It is not for our glory. It is not about us. It says here in verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Just real quickly, this is not just talking about preaching. And it's not saying that whatever comes out of my mouth has to be straight from God. Okay? The idea here is when you speak, you share as somebody that is earnestly sharing what God has for you. That these are important things. We are not being frivolous up here. And I think our elders do a great job of speaking honestly and from the word every Sunday. I go home and almost every Sunday for lunch, it seems like I am rehearsed it, but I thank God for our church where the truth of God is being spoken. Yes. And where the love of his people is evident. So that's what we're talking about here. It says, whoever speaks, not just the elders, whoever. I am so grateful the last couple months, actually more than that, we've done a really good job of having different people come and lead communion. And Tim did one about a year and a half ago about the Japanese art where the vases are broken, okay? But then they're put back together with gold and how they become more valuable. That spoke to me. I use it at school as a way to show that we can be broken, but we can be made whole again and more valuable. Dylan got up here a couple months ago, and Dylan did not feel good about how it went. I made sure that day that I went back and told Dylan how much he spoke to me. And Keith last month, or this month, or whatever month it is, I don't remember. We need to hear those things from people. And one of the great things about being in a small church is that you get more opportunities. There are less of us. So there are more opportunities to serve. And we do a good job at this church having our young kids start that as well. Even the passing around the microphone is not just participation. It is serving in a way that they can serve. And it's not, I'm sure they feel good and important that they get to carry the mic. But really, it's about how we can glorify God in this church. And that's a big deal. It's not about us. You honor the giver. You honor the giver when you use your gifts, whatever those gifts are, to whatever extent the varied, multifaceted gift that you have, you honor the giver. So, application. I want to make sure that you feel like you can write down anything that you want, that you feel God has led you to. I'm going to try to give you some compliments in this application, as well as questions for you to think about how you can best apply this. And sometimes with application, it's easy to think, oh yeah, I'll do this, and never really write anything down or think how you can best actually follow through on this, okay? And I'm guilty of that too. So I try to make sure that we give specific things that we can follow through with. So, do you feel shame about using a gift that you've been given? Do you not want to use it because it's not as good as somebody else's? That shame is basically complaining to God. Hey, thanks for the gift, but no thanks. I'm not going to use that. Do you see an opportunity to serve but are unwilling to commit? Again, as we do these, this is what I've been learning too. So this is not pointing fingers. This is what I've been recognizing in my own life. Are you unsure what you could do to use your gift? What is it that, how is it that you can serve? And so I made a not exhaustive, but a list here of some things that you could do. And they're in no particular order. Cleaning the building, mowing the lawn, worship team, sound and tech team, special projects, special prayer warriors, bulletins, serving the old, the young, the unable of our church, loving other people's kids and being interested in them, being interested in being on administrative committees. I'm going to need a Kleenex. I'm so sorry. It's allergy season, and I neglected that. Somebody give me a Kleenex. Yeah. Sorry about that. All right. This is an important one. Loving on other people's kids and being interested in them. That's part of the reason why we're here, truthfully. You guys have done a great job of loving on our kids. The two that we still have and the other four that we had, you've done a great job of that. being on administrative committees like the finance committee, letting someone else serve you, financial giving, teaching, welcoming and being hospitable, sharing how Jesus is working or has worked in you, missions, and all other types of support. When you serve our church, you become more invested. That's what happens. When you serve our church, you become more invested. I feel more invested about the flooring because I spent a lot of time working on that flooring. I made sure to get other people involved in that project because I wanted them to have skin in the game too. It's a big deal. And the things that you guys do that bless me, I miss it when Tim or Tanner is not on the drums, okay? And look, that's no shade on the worship team without the drums, but I love to hear them. I love to see them. I love part of that, okay? All of the different ways that you guys serve impacts us as a church body. So, what are some other things? Thank someone for their great work. Appreciate what others do. Please do not think this as self-aggrandizing. I'm not looking for pats on the back today. That's not the point, okay? It really isn't. Dave did a great job with Keith 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, whatever it was that Keith was up here. I don't know. He told him that he did a good job. I heard him more than once. That was a big deal. It's a really big deal. I try to thank the worship team, different members of the worship team, for their work. It is something important. Encourage others to use their gifts. Many of you did that with me, and I appreciate that, even if it's not something I was necessarily looking for. God spoke through you. So encourage other people to use their gifts. And think, how can we better support the elders? This is something that is important to me. I want to make sure that we are supporting our elders. How can we best enable them? Again, my dad, small church pastor, and there is never an off button. Middle of the night, vacations, it's always going on. And our elders do a great job of meeting our needs here. I want to make sure that we take care of them as well. Carrie, if you could come on up. We're going to finish with two things. I'm going to pray at the very end, but my sister, in an example of being gifted, the other twin sister, she just did a book of poetry and sent it off to the publisher. Starting to feel a little inferior around my house with all sorts of people that are doing great things like that. But I asked her to help me write a poem for the ending of this. And let me rephrase when I say help me write. I gave her some ideas and words and she did it, okay? So I'm gonna perform that. And when I say that, why do it? Well, because sometimes art speaks to you in different ways, just like the songs speak to you in different ways. And it's another gift. It's another way that people are blessed. If spoken word poetry does not hit you, that's okay. It really is. But this is layered with all sorts of verses and theology that we've been talking about today. So we're going to go ahead and do that, and then I'll close with prayer. By the way, last thing about this. This is from the perspective of God talking to us, not me talking to you. Here we go. I, who made the world with words, have given you a gift, unique to you, for you to use, for the benefit of this church body. With these gifts, you are bound in Christ, nourished and knit, together through all these parts, these joints and ligaments, growing together with a growth from your God, living stones upon the cornerstone, the rock I built my kingdom on. Look around. You are vital to this church. Look down to your hands and feet. Think about the unique work I have called you to. The windows you wash, the coffee you make, the weeds you pull, the meals you take make up and hold this church together. But you may think, what do I have to give? I have no flashy skill. I am unfit. But I prove my riches through the poor and my wonders through the lame. Through the lepers, the sinners, the too old and too young, I will glorify my name. I say your lack is not lack to me. From nothing, I made everything. I can multiply 2 by 5 and make 5,000 satisfied. Give your fishes and and loaves to me. Give me your widow's coins and see. Out of glorious riches, I supply all your needs. See your labors as worship songs, melodies I made unique. When you complain about your gifts, you complain to me. But your call is not expertise or great followings. Your call is living offering. For these people and this body, in this time and location, I placed you divinely. You may think no one knows how often you are running the sound or carrying children around or playing an instrument you wish you were better at or cleaning the pews where someone else sat. You may believe you are unseen and unheard. But I say a better word. Well done, good and faithful servant. For when this body comes together, each one with service and love, with all these gifts are used for building up. When you serve as one with strength that I supply, I am glorified through Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.